Psalm 66 in verse 18 is where we're going to begin tonight. We are going to do a lot of moving around as we continue our series on the difficulties of our prayer series, but tonight we're going to look at the difficulties of prayer, or learning how to recognize and deal with basic hindrances to effective praying. In other words, what are some things that would hinder us from having an effective prayer life? Before we jump into that, let me just wet your whistle a little bit with a couple of quotes. He who rushes from his bed to his business and waiteth not to worship in prayer is as foolish as though he had not put on his clothes or washed his face, or as unwise as though he dashed into battle without arms or armor. Samuel Chadwick said, "The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray." The power of prayer. What I want to share with you tonight has been used of the Lord in a variety of ways over the years. We've used it at times here. Some of you may recognize some of these things, but I think it's good for us to stop and consider these hindrances to our prayer life. I would be surprised tonight if, as we move through this list, we're not guilty of some of them. That would be surprising. It's a rather large list. But it's one that we should regularly address in our lives as we get on our knees to pray. And so I'd like for us to ask the Lord tonight to help us to be able to point out these areas in which the Word of God is going to clearly show this is a blockade, if you will, to an effective prayer life. So would you ask the Lord to point out in your life where you need some areas of attention from this study tonight? Father, I know that when I look at this list over and over, I see things that jump off and say, okay, that one needs to be corrected right now, and this one needs to be corrected. And Lord, may you do that even in my heart tonight once again. May you do it for our people tonight. Lord, I believe that if we could lift the veil off of the things that are blocking our prayer life, and we would see great victories done. May that be the case tonight. Thank you for meeting with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There's a couple football games on tonight, but I'd rather be here with you. We've had a great time in the house of the Lord already tonight. You must recognize and deal with these basic hindrances to effective praying. Number one, Psalms chapter 66 and verse 18. Psalms chapter 66 and verse 18. If I regard, that is, hold on to, iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Number one is unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." I think it's interesting in both passages of Scripture that the Word of God says he will not hear, not that he could not hear, but he chooses not to hear when we have unconfessed sin in our life. Those sins that we're holding on to. Years ago, as I was attending Ambassador Baptist College, we had a preacher come through, and I don't remember who he was, but he challenged us. He said, sometime in the next day or so, and he said, I know you're busy, but in the next day or so, take a sheet of paper and ask God, Lord, what in my life have I not dealt with in the area of sin? And he said, just quietly wait before the Lord. Don't wait a couple of minutes. Wait until he begins to tell you some things, and then continue to write those down until you're sure that God is done with you. And I consciously thought, well, I think that's a good idea, but it'd probably be a short list. So the first one on my list was pride. So I took out that sheet of paper actually on my drive from the college to the church here and began to write as God brought things to mind. And I'd stop at a red light and write down the four or five that he had said to me then. And I tell you, before I got here to church, God had revealed a rather large list of areas in my life that I had just refused to deal with. I remember taking out a pen and beginning to write down scripture verses that I had specifically violated by those things, and then confessing that before the Lord and crossing it off the sheet. And I'm so grateful that when that was done, there was such a weight lifted. We are awful busy. Sometimes we don't take the time to really confess what's wrong in our lives. And that will be a hindrance to effective praying. Unconfessed sin. Number two, James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And I said we're going to move all around tonight. James chapter 4. In verse 3, the Bible says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Number 2 is selfishness. Selfishness. When I pray so that I can be gained by the prayer, in other words, that I may consume it upon what I want, then God doesn't answer those kind of prayers. Prayers that are selfish. Number 3, Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. Verse 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Number 3, praying for show. Praying for show. In other words, I'm praying so that everybody will be attracted to what I've said. They'll be impressed with me, if you will. We know from the rest of Scripture, and we'll get into this next week, that it doesn't mean we can't pray publicly. The New Testament church did that quite frequently. Matter of fact, the Israelites did it often as well in the Old Testament. But this particular kind of praying is the praying where you're trying to get the attention of other people. Ever heard someone pray and they used all these flowery words and all this kind of stuff, and you thought, you know, I think they're praying for the good of us, not for the good of God. Praying for show. The Bible says that God is not going to hear that. Number 4, a proud spirit. A proud spirit. Luke chapter 18. If you would please, Luke chapter 18. Verses 9 through 14. Luke chapter 18. Verses 9 through 14. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood up and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men. As other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Do you think God really needed to know what he did? The Lord wasn't impressed, by the way. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know, when we have a proud spirit, we have caused the Lord to stiff arm us, if you will. He resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. It seems almost preposterous that we would come to the Lord with a proud spirit, but we've done that before. As if he doesn't know what we did or the motive for which we did it. Or as he's going to be impressed with the things that we've done. A proud spirit. Matthew chapter 5, for number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. Verse 23. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Number 5, unresolved conflicts. Joe, tonight, folks, if you have something against a brother or sister in Christ, it does you no good to pray. Husbands, you have something, it's there between your wife and yourself. Does you no good to pray. Your prayers are hindered, men, by the way you treat your wives. Unresolved conflicts. I've told you some of my testimony in the past of a ministry that was a rather rough ministry. We left that ministry and though I did not know it, we really left that ministry, and I had become bitter against some of the men that were in that church and some of the ways that I was treated there. And I was at a conference, and the person that was speaking at the conference said to us in the room that night, how many of you believe that you have been wronged in a situation, he said, whatever it is, and you believe that the other person is primarily at fault? He said, perhaps even they're 95% at fault. And I thought, that's a pretty good description. I'm sure it wasn't 100% all their fault. I probably did something here or there, you know. But I was convinced that it was, you know, 95% their fault. And so I raised my hand. And the guy said, great, I'm going to deal with your 5% problem tonight, because the other person's probably not here. And the truth is, today, if you were to ask me about that particular problem, I still believe it's accurate to say that the other person was wrong 95%, but that wasn't the point. The point was, I had developed bitterness in my heart. I had an unresolved conflict that I was refusing to deal with. And God showed me several things that night that I had to get right with Him. I had to write about 11 letters to different people. And I had to make, I believe it was 10 phone calls. I'm not sure on the number, but I think it was 10 phone calls to get right with people. And you know, as I made those phone calls, most of the responses to the phone calls were negative, by the way. One particular man, the one who had really had done most of the damage, if you will, said to me, "Well, it's about time you got your heart right with God." I was wondering when that was going to happen. And I hung up the phone and I thought, you know, and it was like the Spirit of God said, whoa, I thought you were getting a conflict resolved, not beginning another one. And the truth is, I had to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to leave that with You. That's not my responsibility anymore. I've done what I can to resolve that conflict, and I walked away from it. And if we can't resolve conflicts amongst ourselves, family members, brothers and sisters in Christ, we can't be an effective praying church that way. God's not going to hear us. Number 6 goes right along with this, and that is an unforgiving spirit. An unforgiving spirit. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Verse 25. Mark 11, 25. "And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." Can I read that verse again? "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." That's a pretty powerful verse. Perhaps you don't think you have an unresolved conflict. Maybe you think the person is 100% wrong and you did nothing wrong and they deeply hurt you. The Bible says, forgive them. Matter of fact, it says in the book of Ephesians that we're to do so as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven me. In that instance, God did absolutely nothing wrong. I was 100% guilty. I offended Him. And yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. An unforgiving spirit. I've watched ministries be destroyed because of this. I've watched marriages be destroyed because of this. Relationships destroyed because of this. And what's interesting about an unforgiving spirit is you're the one that's typically hurt more than the person you're not forgiving because they don't even know you haven't forgiven them. And you're stewing about it and thinking about it. And I've watched people who have this unforgiving spirit, and in essence, they become the person that they're angry at. They're bitter at. They become that. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. They're thinking all the time about what this person did to me. And they do the very same things to others. And tonight, you're going to have a battle in your mind, but it's just a little thing. How bad do you want your prayers answered? What are you willing to walk away from in order to get God to listen to what you have to say? That's pretty important. We said before, we're at war. We're in an intense spiritual warfare. An unforgiving spirit. Number 7, Proverbs chapter number 21. Proverbs chapter number 21, verse 13. Proverbs 21 and verse 13. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Number 7, a lack of compassion for the needs of others. A lack of compassion for the needs of others. We don't typically think of this as something that would block our prayer life. But the Bible says that if you will not listen to the needs of other people, there's going to come a time when you're going to have a need and you're not going to be heard. And you say, well, Pastor, that could be referring to other people. It could be, but it also very well could be referring to God as well. God certainly has great compassion on the poor, and we can see that throughout Scripture. He that giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord. A lack of compassion for the needs of others. Luke chapter 11. I know I told you we're turning a lot tonight. Luke chapter 11. And we won't spend much time on this one. We preached on it last week, but I wanted to mention it in here once again. Luke chapter 11. Verse 5. He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Number 8 is giving up too soon. Giving up too soon. God will not answer your prayer when you give up too soon. God wants us to be persistent, determined in our prayer life. We spent a great deal of time on that last week. Number 9. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, please. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Number 9 is a lack of fervency. A lack of fervency. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm not going to take the time to spend a lot on this tonight, but can I tell you something else that's in this verse that I think we do a very poor job of, and that's confessing one to another. We're not willing to admit to someone, you know what, I am really struggling in this area. Would you pray with me about that? Boy, I'm really struggling with pride, and I really need you to battle with me in prayer. I'm struggling with having to forgive someone. Would you battle with me? And you know what? We're so proud that we can't even tell people that we're struggling. It's the truth. We've gotten away from that. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. You know, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'm not saying that we have to go around and air all our dirty laundry, but there should be times when we can come to each other and say, hey, I really need some help in this area. Would you pray with me about that? And then we are to be faithful to pray for that person. A lack of fervency. And then number 10, Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Verse 22. Jesus answering said unto them, "Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, 'Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea,' and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things, whosoever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Number 10 is unbelief. Unbelief. Will God really do this? And I have a seed of doubt in my heart as to whether or not that's going to take place. I love the story of the man whose child was demon-possessed, and he came to the Lord and was distraught. And Jesus said to him, "If thou believe, I can make him whole." And the man said this, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." That verse has been a great encouragement to me. I don't know about you, but I don't struggle with that God can do something. God can do whatever he wants. I don't doubt the power of God whatsoever. What I doubt sometimes is whether or not he's going to do it for me. Whether what I specifically have asked God for, and obviously we know from the other things that we've talked about, there are other quote-unquote conditions. But I struggle with, will God do this for me? But he says, whatever you ask for, when you believe, you're going to receive. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We can't do it. And God wants us to function by faith, believing that what God wants us to do, and we claim, I want you to listen to me, I'm not the Pentecostals, okay? You name it and claim it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying with everything else that we've learned tonight, when we say, "God, this is something that I believe you want me to have," and we pray by faith, believing that God's going to do it. So let's look quickly at these 10 things once again. Unconfessed sin. Now, we could make a strong argument that all of these things are sin, and I understand that. Number 2, selfishness. Number 3, praying for show. Number 4, a proud spirit. Number 5, unresolved conflicts. Number 6, an unforgiving spirit. Number 7, a lack of compassion for the needs of others. Number 8, giving up too soon. Number 9, a lack of fervency. Number 10, unbelief. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, if you would. I don't want the musicians to come just yet. I want to do something different tonight. As I said at the beginning of the message, it would be surprising to me if the Spirit of God did not point out something in which you could say, that right there, that's where I need some improvement. Here's what I'd like to ask you to do tonight. As you're sitting there before the Lord, I hope you took notes. But if you didn't, there's probably that area that you already know immediately that the Spirit of God touched on. Would you take just a few minutes right where you're sitting and say, "Okay, Lord, here's the area that I know you've already spoken to me about. It's a proud spirit. It's an unforgiving spirit. It's a lack of whatever it may be." Would you determine tonight that you're not going to leave this building without getting that resolved with God? You say, "Well, some of the unresolved conflicts are outside of this building." Okay, you tell God, "Lord, the first chance I get, I'm going to make a phone call. I'm going to write a letter." Maybe that person's in this room and you need to just go touch them and say, "Hey, let's go get something right and come back in." Will you just take some time before the Lord? Maybe you want to come to the altar. That's up to you. Maybe you'll just bow at your seat, or maybe you'll just sit there and say, "Okay, Lord, here are the areas. And would you tick those off and say, God, I want to get that right in my life.
Father, thank you for having these things in the Word, and thank you for speaking to our hearts tonight. Lord, may we not walk out of this room putting something aside, thinking that we don't need to deal with it. May we deal with those things tonight, regardless of what it takes. Well, thank you for it.
It's never easy to do what God asks you to do. When He points it out and says, hey, this needs to be changed. It's hard to pick up the phone and say, I was wrong. But that's exactly what we need to do sometimes. Nothing between my soul and the Savior.